They've criminalized non-criminal activity for political gain. All of this is going to come back to bite them. All of it. USA, home
of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that away.
All right, welcome back, Financial Guys Podcast, here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spiraza in studio today. Special guest from the Trump team, Christina Bob, a Trump attorney at Save America. Christina, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I want to talk through some of these legal issues and court cases and indictments that we've seen from the president here, for the president, I should say. Most people, I feel like, don't actually know what these are or what's going on. They know of the indictments. They know of like 5,000 years in prison, but they don't know what each one is. And I kind of want to break that down. I want to start in New York, Christina. So that's where I am. We're in Buffalo, New York. It's not New York City, but it's Buffalo. Right. What is the real crime in New York and who is the real victim? Because I'm still not sure of that.
Well, there is no crime, and it's not actually in criminal court. It's in civil court because they could not find enough evidence to come up with a crime. They're prosecuting him civilly. It's a civil penalty. So there's no risk of jail time. There's no risk of criminal penalties. It's all civil penalties. And what they're claiming is they, being Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, is claiming that President Trump overvalued his property when he was applying for a loan, for a business loan, for some of the real estate deals that he was doing, particularly with Deutsche Bank. And I think there may have been another bank involved. There may or may not have been another bank involved. But they said that he overinflated his real estate assets, which could have led to a default. It could have potentially defrauded the bank. The problem that they have, Letitia James has a couple problems with this. One, the loan has been repaid in full. Nobody was defrauded. There is no victim in the case. The victim or the bad potential consequence of supposedly overinflating the real estate values never actually materialized. So it's a hypothetical. Which is becoming more and more absurd as the trial has progressed, as we've seen throughout this. The other problem that they have is Deutsche Bank testified for the defense, for Donald Trump, saying, I don't think he did anything wrong, basically. And, you know, real estate valuations are, they're a range. And we think the way that he valued it was appropriate and we were not harmed. So Letitia James is trying to argue that he defrauded the banks. And the banks are saying, no, he didn't. So that's where we're at in the trial right now.
So here's my problem with it. So I own an insurance agency too. I do media stuff on the side, but I own an insurance agency. If I went to an insurance company and said, the client thinks their building is worth $700 million and they went and did an inspection and the building's worth, I'm using an example, $25 million. They're not just going to give you, right, you know, inflated insurance because you said so, the client says so. And I'm not saying that, you know, numbers aren't finagled here and there. I don't know Donald Trump's accounting and all that, but I guess where I'm going is if the banks had concern, like any bank, if you buy a house, and Donald Trump's not buying houses, by the way, he's buying massive real estate. Right. They're going to do their homework, right? And say, yes, we can give that loan, or no, they're way out of whack on their projections and their numbers, right?
That's exactly right. And not only did the bank do their own due diligence and do their own valuations and their own inspection of the properties and all of that, they valued the properties higher than Donald Trump did. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense that they would have thought that he was lying to them when they thought that his property was actually worth more. So it's basically saying that whatever you believe, whatever Donald Trump, the organization, it's really the Trump organization, whatever they believe that he valued it at, if they believe it's off, it's not off by that much because the bank had the same, to your point, the bank had the same valuation and higher in some instances. So this is a complete scam of a trial. It's all about election interference. The purpose of it is to try to hurt Donald Trump financially, not just through legal fees and, you know, having to pay attorneys, but they want to try to jam this through with a partisan judge and get the judge to make a partisan ruling, which would then afford Letitia James, the Attorney General, to attach civil penalties, which at the moment she's seeking $250 million in penalties, which certainly would hurt Donald Trump financially, which could potentially impact what he's capable of contributing to his own campaign. So this is all about the 2024 election. This is election interference.
So I was going to bring up the judge and Letitia James for a minute here, because the judge and his wife are very anti-Trump from what we've seen on social media. I think Laura Loomer was the one that uncovered a lot about his wife going crazy on social media. But, you know, to me, again, living in New York, we saw it. Letitia James campaigned on this exact thing, right? She knew what she was going to try and do. The thing that cracks me up, though, as a New Yorker, you look at the tax issues we already have in this state, and they're trying to drive a very good business out of the state of New York. I don't really get it. Like, yeah, you can find Trump. I get that. But your state's going to go bankrupt because there's a lot of businesses since COVID and whatnot that have left. I think a billion-dollar organization and Trump's organization leaving, probably not the best strategy for long-term tax issues and you know, budget issues in New York State.
Well, and it's what's really disheartening about that is there's a lot of good people whose lives are being turned upside down by this. The people who work for the Trump organization, the New York residents whose family depend on their salaries and their wages. And Letitia James is completely ignoring that. She doesn't care about those people. She doesn't care about the people who live in her state. All she wants to do is get Trump. And she's willing to throw her own citizens under the bus to reach a political objective.
Final question on her, because I don't want to forget this. So you're an attorney. I don't necessarily see you posting videos every day and talking about the cases you're working on live every minute of the day. Is that some kind of conflict? Because I know for me, like if I'm writing somebody's homeowner's insurance, I'm not going to go online and be like, listen to what happened with this guy today. Can you believe like that doesn't seem like something we should probably be doing? So right. Is that an issue or is this just a political stunt for her? I mean, what are we doing
here? It is a political stunt. And there's a reason you don't see most of President Trump's attorneys talking about the cases that they're working on. And I can comment on some of these cases because I'm not the attorney of record, you know, at the trial for it. So I have a little bit more freedom, but attorneys working on the case, to your point, are a little bit more judicious in the comments that they make about the cases that they're actually working. But what it tells me is that this is a political stunt because if her primary objective were to execute the duties of her office as the attorney general, she wouldn't be out there doing that. And she wouldn't be making the claims that she's making. And she wouldn't be saying the things that she's saying. And the fact that she is tells me that executing the duties of the office of the attorney general is not her primary objective. Her primary objective is political. Her primary objective is to get Donald Trump and to further her own political ambitions.
Yeah, and this is the same state, again, that has people crapping on the streets, living on the streets. I mean, this is the same state, right? And,
there's a couple states that have that.
We're not alone. Yeah, us in California are leading the charge. That's right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the same state, right, that has rampant crime, and this is the type of crime we're worried about here.
Yeah. Well, it's not a crime. Remember, it's a civil penalty.
True, I know.
That might not seem like much, but it actually kind of matters.
Yes. So. I guess my point is, I think I could be wrong. They could be spending their time doing other things
100%
other than being in court, wasting my tax dollars. Georgia. Let's go to Georgia next. Okay. So this is Fannie Willis, correct? In Georgia.
Yep.
I have the crimes here. I have the whole thing here in Georgia. They are saying that this is another one of the election interference cases, of course, in Fulton County. We have solicitation, violation of oath by a public officer, conspiracy to commit forgery, conspiracy to commit false statements, RICO. We got the violation of the RICO Act there. What did he do?
What he did was he saw an election being stolen that he believed was in the process of being stolen. He was the president of the United States and saw it as his duty and responsibility as the president of the United States to seek out possible solutions to figure out what was going on in our election. That's what he did. How do you jam that into a crime? Is that what you mean?
How do we get here? I guess is my point.
It's fake. The whole thing is fake. You're watching political theater. I mean, they charged Mike Roman with sharing a phone number. I mean, somebody asked him, hey, do you have this guy's phone number? He said, yeah, here it is. He shared it. And they charged him as part of an organized crime syndicate, basically. Because he shared a phone number with somebody. I mean, they've criminalized non-criminal activity for political gain. All of this is going to come back to bite them. All of it. We have to get through it. We have to trudge through it, unfortunately. which we will. President Trump will prevail. He'll get through this. But they're forcing us all, not just the Trump team, but every American who cares about this country. They're forcing us all to wade through their BS.
So on this case specifically, it's Georgia. I'm fairly certain Stacey Abrams was from Georgia, and she didn't like the election results that she received, right? Yeah. I mean, Hillary Clinton still to this day is saying that there was, you know, interference in the 2016 election. Right. She actually beat Trump, right? I guess my question asking those two people like this is, how do people not see this? And I know everybody doesn't pay attention to politics like you or I may or whoever, but at the end of the day, how do you sit there as an American, see this and not say to yourself, what the hell is going on here? Why are we doing this?
Well, I think any American who is paying attention does do that. I think that's why you see President Trump's poll numbers rising every time they charge him with something, because people who are watching go, wait, that's not right. Jack Smith and Fannie Willis and this whole apparatus of people that are trying to take Donald Trump down using our government, they are banking on an uninformed electorate. This is election interference, and they're hoping the American public is uninformed about what's actually happening. And they're counting on a lot of their media allies to do their dirty work. And the media is doing it, right? We're seeing most of the mainstream, you know, the big three networks don't talk about the election fraud. They don't talk about the fact that the sheriff in Racine County referred charges of election officials to the district attorney saying they committed election fraud, and the Republican district attorney refused to prosecute. That should be all over every news network, but it's not. Why? Because they're covering it up. And we see that in every Republican state that was stolen. That's why they're getting away with it. But I think the people who are paying attention or seeing this going on realize it's all a sham.
And I'm not saying the Trump team is saying this, I'm saying this, but Republicans need to grow a spine too, because I'm sick and tired, to be honest. And if you can't comment on this, that's fine. But I'm sick and tired of hearing, we need to do this, we need to do that, this is the problem, this is the problem. And nobody does anything, right? Yeah. It's not Donald Trump's job to do right now. He's not in office. But Republicans in Congress continue to talk about this stuff. And then every election comes by and they're like, I don't know what happened. And to me, it's like, well, we know what happened and you're not paying attention again.
Yeah. Not only can I comment on it, I wrote a book on it. I wrote a book, Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024. The way I like to summarize it is Democrats cheated, but Republicans covered it up. And it's not just the Republicans in Congress and the Republicans at the RNC. It's insidious, and it goes all the way down to local and county level offices. I mean, the Republican Party has become the party of cowards. They go along to get along. They don't actually stand up for conservative values. And so this push and pull that we're supposed to have, that supposedly the two sides are supposed to balance each other out, the reason the left has become so unbalanced is because the Republicans aren't pulling their weight to counterbalance them. So the left now says it's okay for a man to say he's a woman, or to genitally mutilate children, or to teach kids that it's okay to be confused about what gender you are. I mean, I blame Republicans for that, because if Republicans had actually been, pumping the brakes and saying, absolutely not, we're not doing these crazy educational changes, and, you know, we're not coming up with these crazy policies, we wouldn't be where we are today. We are where we are today in this crisis with a bunch of crazy leftists because of Republicans.
Let's go back and plug that book one more time, because that was a great plug there. Plug that again if you can.
Thank you. Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024.
Awesome. There you go. All right. So now we're going to go to, let's pick Florida. Let's go to Florida. I know, you know, everybody was panicking about him having, you know, classified documents or whatever they said it was.
The media was panicking about it.
Yes, nobody in real life was panicking about it. That's right. That's right. And that's where I'm going. So in like the same, you know, 6 months or whatever, we see the story of Joe Biden in his house with his crackhead son that had, you know, an opportunity to see things. Right. And then he kept him stored very, very securely in a garage next to his Corvette. You know, Mike Pence, they said, had documents as well. I know the answer, but how does the legal system in 2023 get away with this stuff?
Because Joe Biden's in control of it. That's it. That's the only reason. It's not just Joe Biden. I'm overgeneralizing. Yeah. But it's, you know, and it's not even Democrats. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. It's the political class versus the rest of America. And the political class currently is in control of our federal government. And now we should be able to see clear as day that there is a two-tiered system of justice. You either bend the knee to the political class or they'll throw you in jail. I mean, look at the January 6th protesters that have been in jail for years without a trial date scheduled. Yep. Or their trial date gets scheduled and pulled off the calendar. I mean, we're in the most un-American period of American history that has ever existed. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights has been completely, I don't even want to use the word I was thinking of, but it's been shred. And we need to get back to that. But no, our system of justice is hanging by a thread. I'm confident and hopeful that President Trump will prevail. And as a result, we'll be able to straighten some of these things out. But no, we are in an authoritarian government right now. We have a small class of ruling people who believe that they have the right to dictate what we can do. And if we don't bend our knee to them, they'll throw us in prison. That is where we're at today.
And one of my questions later is going to be about that, because it scares me as a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter, and yep, it's very vocal that I'm a Trump supporter. I own a business. I'm waiting for something to come out of that or somebody show up at my house, because that's just where we go in this country right now. But it's horrifying that you can't have an opinion. And I say this all the time. I'm not I was at January 6th. I wasn't. I purposely didn't go there because I didn't want to be around that, because I thought not that would be the case. But, you know, they were looking for people that day. I didn't put myself in that position. But, you know, I feel now like you don't even have to be in an event like that. You could just say something on X or on Instagram and they'll just say, you know what, that's hate speech. We're just going to throw you up here. New York, Christina, New York has camps now that they're having, that they can just take you from your home. And it actually just went past appeals. They can take you from your home and just throw you in there in some, you know, camp. Right. And that's the next thing, right? Cause I'm going to be the mentally ill person. Yeah. It went to appeals and they didn't shoot it down. So it's moving on to the next thing. They are pitching it as something for like COVID or an infectious disease, but there's no language that says that in there. I can send you a link.
It's not for criminal purposes. It's for supposed health purposes.
If they think there's a health risk, they can take you from your home and put you in a camp.
Unreal.
I'll send you an article on that. That's
unreal.
New York.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
So for talking to you about this, I'll probably get a knock on my door. real quick, before we go to DC, though, I just want to read some of these. Yeah. 32 counts of unlawful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, withholding a document, altering, destroying, or concealing an object, false statements. I mean, unbelievable. Let's go to DC here. This one, I think is Jack Smith's baby, right? The one in DC.
Yeah, that is the baby. Can I go back to Mar-a-Lago? The Mar-a-Lago. So I just want to make sure, and I know this has been out in the press a little bit, but I want to make sure your viewers understand the Presidential Records Act covers Donald Trump. He is completely authorized, and he is the sole authority to determine what he's allowed to take with him when he leaves the White House and what he has to return. That's written in statute, and it's been interpreted by court law already. It's Judicial Watch versus NARA. You can look up the case if you want to. NARA, N-A-R-A, the National Archives and Records Administration. So, go ahead.
No, I was saying, can I ask one question on that?
Yeah.
Does he have to, when he leaves, though, like let's say 2020 or 2021, whatever, does he have to at that point say right there, I'm taking these are declassified? Or is it like if he takes them, they're his?
If he takes them, they're his. Okay. And not only that, it goes further than that. The judge, which was an Obama appointed judge in Washington, D.C., who said nobody else has authority, including the archivist. And she actually says this in the opinion, the archivist, NARA, does not have authority to tell the president what he's required to return to the archives. Now, what happened in the Mar-a-Lago case? It's the archivist telling Donald Trump what he was required to return. It's already been decided by the court. Donald Trump is not required to listen to the archivist. This whole case should be thrown out. I don't know if it will survive or not. We'll see, you know, the motions that are filed and whatnot. That's all still going through litigation. But this case was already decided in 2012. There is nobody who can tell the president what he's required to return, classified or not. And the documents in that case were considered classified. So it applies to this case.
Does this apply to vice presidents too or no?
No, only the president. And it also doesn't apply to senators.
So I bring this up, obviously, because what I said before. So you had Mike Pence that supposedly had documents, and Joe Biden did, right? And what was the reasoning behind the Joe Biden? Because he voluntarily gave them back because he's such a nice rule follower? No, what was the reason they didn't go after him then?
They didn't give one. They just didn't give it. They just said it's closed.
Must be nice. I said this to Don Jr. today.
Nobody is contesting the fact that the Presidential Records Act does apply to the vice president. No one's saying, oh, he's protected by this. Nobody is saying that because everybody knows the Presidential Records Act only protects the president. Of all of the people who have been found to have classified material, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Mike Pence, I think there was one other one. I don't remember what it is. But anyway, the only one who's protected is Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, good grief. Hillary Clinton had classified documents. The only one that's protected is Donald Trump. And yet Donald Trump's the only one being prosecuted. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I think we need to be prosecuting all of these people for this. Clearly, people are going to have information and it needs to be handled in an appropriate way. And obviously, if they're doing something nefarious with it, you know, they shouldn't be breaking the law. I'm not saying we need to go prosecute Mike Pence and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden for having classified records. However, it does appear that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden may have been doing something else with those documents. So we definitely need to take a closer look at that. But
Hillary Clinton had a lot of things Hillary Clinton had, I think. Yeah. She had, cell phone servers, you name it, she had it. Her husband also had a nice relationship, it seems, with Jeffrey Epstein as well. So there's a lot of things that Clintons I would like to know about. I'm sure we'll never hear about them, though.
Correct.
Let's go real quick to DC, and then I want to do some rapid fire with you on some of this stuff, too. So DC, I'm going to pull my chart again here. DC, we have, again, this is January 6th related. What are they saying? Because he had a rally that day. Is that the reasoning behind this? Or because he's a mean tweeter? Yes,
that's really funny. Okay. They're not even going that far. So this is what's so disingenuous about this criminal case and what the media is doing. The media is working overtime to confuse the public about this case. And it goes to the ballot access issues of whether or not he's going to be on the ballot, because they're trying to say, oh, under the 14th Amendment, anybody guilty of insurrection can't be on the ballot. They're not eligible to hold office. He shouldn't even be on the ballot. That's their argument. The problem that they have and why they consistently continue to lose these cases is, well, one of the reasons they consistently continue to lose these cases, he is not charged with insurrection. There is no charge in the Washington, D.C. January 6th case for insurrection. And insurrection is in the penal code. And so if you want to say he's guilty of insurrection, why didn't you charge him with it? So I think it's really important that Americans understand it's not even on the table. He's not charged with that. What he's charged with is a couple variations of conspiracy to defraud the government and basically lie to Congress saying that the election was stolen.
So, and I want to go back to, because I think this all leads into, they're going to try and make people take plea deals, and they've already done this in Georgia, right? Obviously. So when we talk real quick about all these cases combined now, well, let's talk about them together. When you have people, and I'm going to use one of my pals on social media, Jenna Ellis, she's not a big fan of me, but when you talk about people like her that, you know, take a plea deal, whatever, I'm not telling them what legal thing they should do. That's up to them.
Yeah.
But what does a Fannie Willis get out of making seven people plea down if Donald Trump's at the end of the day going to fight everything and say, I don't really care what they do? It just seems, again, like a total waste of time and energy to charge these 25 people. You said a phone call was one of them. I mean, what is the point behind that? Does it make their case look better? Is that
it makes Fannie Willis's case look better in her mind. Yeah. She believes that. She wants to parade these people before the jury and say, oh, they pled guilty. They pled guilty. They pled guilty. Now, this is not a legal argument. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she's going to successfully be able to do this. The judge should stop this, but she's hoping that she can parade a bunch of people who have pled guilty before the jury and go, she won't be able to say it this way, but basically say, well, look, so many people pled guilty. Obviously Donald Trump is guilty too. That's her goal. So she basically, I don't want to call it blackmail, but she basically puts so much pressure on, and most of these people have been lawyers. I mean, it would upend their entire career, deprive them of their law license and their ability to earn a living doing what they've been doing thus far in their career. So she gets them to plead something that doesn't include moral turpitude so that they don't lose their law license, but all it does is give her a guilty, you know, check on her list, and they basically go away with nothing. That's what she's doing.
It's a pretty evil game we're playing right now. Yeah. And to your point, you made a good point that I want to go back to for a second. This should not be what we all want to do. right? We should not be saying, let's go after every president going forward, family member yeah. going forward. So, I mean, that's a really bad precedent to set. And that's what my whole point this whole time. Like, again, if you want to go down this road, I'll go down this road with you. I want all the Summer of Love folks that were burning down yeah. cities. I want them. I want every politician ever, like this thing with Santos. Again, I'm not a huge Santos guy. He's a New York guy, but I'm not a huge Santos guy. But yeah. that's the guy we're going to go after, not Menendez. And but, I mean, what are we
thank
doing?
Thank you for raising this point. And this, you know, I'm yeah. in Florida, but my friends and I, like my colleagues, when we talk about it, it's like, of all of the people to go after, and kind of, don't get me wrong, they're not wrong for expelling Santos or, you know, doing all the things they've done to Santos. What he did was bad. There's a lot of other people in Congress that have done way worse things than George yeah. Santos has done. So, but it goes back to your earlier point. Republicans are spineless. George Santos is low-hanging fruit. He is clearly guilty. He was clearly in the wrong. So it's an easy target to say, yeah, he was wrong. We should get him out. And he doesn't really have the ability to fight back. And he doesn't really have the ability to do damage to anybody else's political campaign in the future. Now, if they go after one of the Democrats have some firepower behind them, and they might try to primary one of the Republicans, or they might, you know, make it difficult for them to re-win their seat in the next election. And they don't want to fight that fight. So let's just go after someone who has no power, no ability to do anything, and get rid of him. Thank you,
I will say he has taken it in stride, though. I'll give him credit. Yeah, he did what he had to do. Yeah. Let me ask this now. This is the $1 million question. And if I was Joe Biden, I'd say the $100 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion question that he said the other day. I mean, what is this costing the American taxpayer? And maybe state by state, but yeah. the Washington case, I don't know. But what is this costing us when you talk about legal fees, attorneys and whatnot, yeah. you talk about Trump's motorcade everywhere. I mean, New York, he can't go anywhere without a motorcade. Yeah. I mean, what is this costing people like me?
At least tens of millions. And I mean, and if you want to go all the way back to 2015 and how our government's been investigating and attacking him for 7 or 8 years now, at least tens, possibly hundreds of millions at this point with what they've done. I mean, the Mueller investigation alone cost $30 million. And now you have at least 4 criminal cases that are pretty much equivalent to the Mueller investigation. So 3 times 4 is 120, right? 30 times yeah. 4 is 120.
Yeah, 30
like
is,
that.
I got you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's expensive. And that doesn't include Donald Trump's defense. You know, Donald Trump has to cover his own right. defense and have legal funds or whatever he's doing to cover his own defense. And that's why they're doing a lot of this. They want to drain his resources because they have government resources, right? This is a way to campaign against Donald Trump using government resources.
Here's the good news. It's not working. His polls continue to climb, yeah. right? And even, you know, I don't feel bad for Republican candidates that are running against him, but I at times do because I'm like, my God, you just have no chance. Every time they do this, he just skyrockets. I mean, they yeah. said, I think yesterday he's up like 40 in Iowa right now.
Yeah.
And the Iowa caucus is like 30 days away. So good for us, I guess. I'll take it. Keep prosecuting him and it'll just get better for us. But what scares me, and he's seen this, you've seen it. You know, we've all seen it as Trump supporters. If they're not, you know, taking your records on Twitter and X and doing whatever they're doing with your prior tweets or retweets or whatever, you know, they're going after people's businesses. They're jailing yeah. people who weren't even at the Capitol. I mean, they're doing a lot of things. Ray Epps, by the way, Ray Epps hasn't been, you know, I heard he was going to be arrested and detained and everything. I haven't heard anything besides
that. Yeah,
they're
going to drag that out. Until yeah. after the election and then drop the charges. That's what they're going to yeah. do. They had to charge yeah. him so that they could pretend yeah. like he's not one of them, that he's not a Fed, yeah. that he wasn't paid by the federal government to orchestrate the yeah. insurrection, like he said he did, you know, when he was texting on January 2nd, yeah. or January 7th. Yeah, they had to cover that up. So they charged him, told him to take a 6-month vacation. I mean, this is me, like, I don't know, right? I don't work for the government, but
I agree with you.
I'm assuming they were like, hey, get out of here for 6 months, disappear. Yeah. And we'll bring you back, you know, after we successfully get rid of Donald Trump. That's their plan.
Go sue Tucker Carlson. So when
yes,
this happens,
exactly.
that means
go cause
right.
problems
yeah.
somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go do that. And play the victim because you're the victim for telling people yeah. to storm the Capitol. So where I was going with that, though, is, I mean, there's a real fear that our rights are being infringed or just completely removed at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, the freedom of speech is scary because they're taking things away from you. Yeah. And thank God Elon bought Twitter X, because that one was taken from us too. They're going after your guns. We all know that, right? They're going after your vehicles and your ways to heat your home. Like in New York now, gas stoves, well, let me go back to restaurants. They're trying to eliminate gas stoves so pizzerias can't use gas stoves to heat their pizza. I mean, that's the type of stuff that's going on in America right now, and especially towards people that think like you and I do. That scares me, and I don't know how you fix that other than, I mean, I actually don't, because if Trump gets in, how do you get rid of all the other people?
Oh, if Trump gets in, it's going to get fixed. Definitely. That's not going to be a problem. I'm confident of that.
What about the senators and congressmen and women?
No,
though?
You can't tell them. But if Donald Trump gets in, Congress will be taken care of as well. And don't get me wrong, I don't think this is something that's going to be taken care of in one election cycle. This is probably going to be a few cycles of various elections to clean this problem out. Getting Donald Trump back in office will be a really, really great start to that. But you're right. I mean, I've had the U.S. Marshal show up to my house. I've had the FBI show up to my house. I've had interrogations and investigations and lawsuits and subpoenas and grand jury testimonies. And I've experienced all of it for nothing other than I support Donald Trump and now I work for him. And granted, a lot of the stuff that I went through it as a reporter. I mean, I thought reporters were kind of sacrosanct as far as free speech and, you know, anti-harassment. You can't go after reporters. Apparently you're allowed to go after conservative reporters. I learned that the hard way. So, I completely agree with you. I think our nation is in a real critical moment. I don't believe that if they successfully eliminate Donald Trump from the 2024 race, which I don't think they will, but in their mind, if they eliminate Donald Trump from the 2024 race, our rights are not magically going to be restored. It's going to be a totalitarian type thing where there is no dissent. Nobody is allowed to dissent. That's where we're headed.
I'm going to use that now going forward, that hopefully, because I'm a media person, that they'll just let me go because that's the media thing. I hope that's the case. I don't trust it, though. I will say this too. You know, my prediction. Oh, boy. Hit my mic there. My prediction is I think Trump wins the primary in a landslide. We've seen it. Right. And there's just no competition. I like Vivek's message because it's very close to Donald Trump's message. And I think Vivek's a great speaker. I don't think he's ready to be the president of the United States. Ron DeSantis, I mean, you're a Florida person. I think he's done a decent job as a governor down there. This political campaign.
He completely sold us out.
This political campaign, though, for president that he has, may be the single worst campaign in political presidential history. I mean, it is horrible.
He lost his political career. He didn't just lose this campaign. He will never hold office again.
I tend to agree with you. And again, I go back to, not because I don't like them, I don't know them, but his social media people too, maybe the single worst group of humans of all time. I mean, they're so angry and miserable, victimhood. Like, it's just like, come on, man, this is what we hate about the left. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You're exactly right.
And then, you know, you look at Chris Christie. I'm not even going to go there and waste my time. And then Nikki Haley, he's getting paid somewhere, I think. And then Nikki Haley, you know, again, I think she is the darling now, right, for the media, for the donor class. I think she is.
No, I wouldn't say for the donor class. I would say for the establishment donors. But, I mean, she's nowhere near Trump. She's nowhere near Trump.
What do you think it is right now, though, if you don't mind me asking this before we close, why is it that she's getting, I'll say some of the donor class or the establishment donor class? What is it? I mean, don't donors, and you know more about this stuff than I do, but I look at like making an investment and I'm like, okay, so Donald Trump's polling at 62%. This woman is polling at 14%.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a great bet for me. And that's what donors are doing. They're betting, right? They're betting at the
end
of
the day. They're not betting on Nikki Haley. They're betting on Jack Smith. That's what they're betting on.
Okay, good point.
They're betting that Jack Smith is going to be able to take Donald Trump out.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either, but if they want to waste hundreds of millions, by all means, go for it.
Yeah, hey, it helps us. Christina, how do people find you? And we can plug that book or any other books or anything that you have as well.
Sure, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Christina_Bob. The book is Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024. You can get it wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, my website, christinabob.com. And that's about it.
Awesome. Hang with me when we finish up here. That is, again, Trump attorney at Save America, Christina Bob. Thank you for joining us today. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS. Don't forget about our app, the Financial Guys Media app. Download it today. Turn on notifications, and you will get all three of our podcasts, our morning show, and our live Saturday radio show. Until next week, I'm Mike Spiraza. Have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that.